Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Small is Beautiful Economics, As If People Mattered, is a collection of essays by economist E.F. Schumacher, first published in 1973 and now regarded as a landmark work of social and economic criticism. Rather than presenting a conventional textbook or a technical model, the book argues that economics must be judged by its effects on people, communities, and then natural world. Schumacher challenges the assumptions of unlimited growth, large-scale industrial systems, and the idea that bigger automatically means better. He also promotes appropriate technology, local self-reliance, and an economy designed around human dignity instead of pure efficiency or profit. The book belongs to the tradition of public-facing economic commentary, but it is unusually philosophical in tone and moral in outlook. Its purpose is not only to criticize modern economic priorities, but to propose a more humane framework for thinking about production, consumption, ownership, and development. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why Schumacher rejects the bigger is better logic in modern economics. A central argument in Small is Beautiful is that the dominant economic culture mistakes scale for progress. Schumacher questions the assumption that larger firms, larger machines, and larger systems are automatically more efficient in the ways that matter to society. His concern is not simply technical, it is human. Large-scale structures can remove decision-making from the people affected by it, weaken community control, and make workers feel like replaceable parts of a system. The book argues that the quality of economic life cannot be measured only by output or profit. Instead, the question should be whether an economic arrangement serves human purposes, supports meaningful work, and remains understandable to the people who live within it. This critique gives the book its enduring force. It does not reject organization or industry itself, but it insists that scale should be chosen carefully rather than assumed to be virtuous. That argument is especially relevant to readers concerned with corporate concentration, bureaucracy, and the social costs of centralized development. Secondly, appropriate technology as a practical alternative to industrial centralization. Schumacher is best known for the idea of appropriate technology, which means tools and systems should fit local needs, local skills, and local resources. In this view, technology is not valuable because it is the most advanced or the most capital intensive, but because it is usable, maintainable, and empowering for ordinary communities. This approach is meant to reduce dependence on distant experts, expensive infrastructure, and imported systems that may not suit local conditions. The book treats technology as a social choice, not a neutral force. A machine or process can either strengthen local resilience or deepen dependence on outside institutions. That distinction is one reason the book influenced development thinking, community economics, and parts of the environmental movement. Schumacher does not argue for rejecting modern tools outright. Instead, he proposes a standard of fit technology should be judged by whether it expands human freedom, preserves dignity, and works within real ecological and economic limits. This makes the book more practical than a simple anti-technology critique, because it offers criteria for choosing tools rather than merely condemning them. Thirdly, a critique of growth, consumption, and economic progress, measured only by output. Small is Beautiful challenges the idea that economic growth is always beneficial, especially when growth is defined narrowly as increased production and consumption. Schumacher argues that societies can become trapped in a cycle where more goods are treated as proof of success, even when the deeper consequences are damage to community life, depletion of resources, and increased alienation. The book is sharply critical of consumerism because it blurs the line between genuine need and socially fomentured desire. This matters because, in Schumacher's framework, economics should help people live well, not merely encourage them to consume more. He therefore asks readers to think more carefully about sufficiency, permanence, and restraint. The critique is moral as well as economic. It suggests that a civilization organized around endless accumulation may undermine the very well-being it claims to improve. This topic helps explain why the book remains part of conversations about degrowth, sustainability, and post-GDP thinking. Its value lies in forcing readers to ask whether economic expansion is serving human life or merely disguising insecurity, waste, and inequality behind the language progress. Fourthly, development, the third world, and the case for economies built around people. Another major dimension of the book is Schumacher's concern with development, especially in poorer countries. He challenges the idea that development should simply copy the industrial model of wealthy nations. Instead, he argues that the most effective path often involves local participation, labor-intensive methods, and institutions that fit the real conditions of the people being served. This perspective is important because it refuses to treat poverty as a problem that can be solved only by importing large-scale industrial solutions. Schumacher believes that development should increase autonomy rather than dependence, and it should strengthen communities rather than displace them. The book therefore connects economics with social justice, not in an abstract way, but through practical questions about ownership, scale, and access to opportunity. His approach has been influential in debates about fair trade, development policy, and grassroots enterprise. At the same time, the book reflects the limits of its era, especially in the terminology it uses for the developing world. Even so, its core insight remains clear: economic systems should be judged by whether they expand real capabilities for ordinary people, not only by aggregate growth figures. Lastly, the moral and philosophical foundations of an economy that serves human beings, small as beautiful, is distinctive, because it treats economics as a moral discipline, not just a technical one. Schumacher argues that economic theory rests on deeper assumptions about what a human being is, what counts as knowledge, and what kind of life is worth pursuing. He criticizes intellectual habits that reduce people to consumers, workers, or units of production. For him, a healthy economy depends on a clearer understanding of human limits, responsibility, and purpose. This is why the book moves beyond policy proposals and into philosophy. Its essays ask readers to rethink education, resource use, and the meaning of work in light of human dignity. The result is a book that is less concerned with producing a single system than with correcting an entire mindset. That is also why it has lasted. Even readers who do not accept every conclusion can recognize the value of its broader challenge. It reminds economists, policymakers, and general readers that an economy is not an abstract machine. It is a human arrangement, and its legitimacy depends on the kind of life it makes possible. In conclusion, Small is Beautiful should be read by anyone interested in economics, environmental thought, community development, or the history of sustainable living. It is especially useful for readers who want to understand the roots of localism, appropriate technology, and critiques of endless growth. The book offers intellectual benefits by connecting economic policy to ethics, ecology, and human scale, which makes it more multidimensional than many modern books on sustainability or reform. It also has practical value because it encourages readers to examine how production, consumption, and development affect real communities rather than abstract indicators alone. What sets it apart from similar works is its combination of moral seriousness, economic criticism, and concrete attention to scale. It is not merely anti-industrial and not just a manifesto for environmental concern. Instead, it builds a coherent case that economics should be reorganized around people, place, and permanence. That balance of philosophy and policy is why the book remains influential decades after publication and continues to serve as a reference point for debates about the green economy and fairer development. If you would like to support E.F. Schumacher, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.